Amen. If you'll go ahead and start turning in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Amen. I went and got a towel because it might be one of them kind of words. I don't know. Need to get a drink because I don't know when I'll stop again. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Stand for the reading of God's word if you can. And we'll just begin. Amen. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. We will read here. In verse 19, verse 21, if I can find it, it's in here. I'm in the right book. I'm in the wrong chapter, I think. You know, it's strange. I went and preached in Texas and had no problem finding my scriptures without my Bible. Now I have my Bible and I'm finding it hard to preach with it. 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21. I am promising you, I do not know where it's at. Yeah, I'm turned to the right book, I believe. Oh, here we are. This is right. For some reason, mine's not. Amen. We're just going to read it. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people. And they ate, and he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Amen. Here you go. One more scripture. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. This one should be easy to find. Just right there in the beginning. Isn't that strange? I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I've done to myself here. Brother Trevor's made me all kinds of nervous. That's what it is. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. I'm going to blame it on him. It ain't him. He doesn't have that much power over me. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'd like to preach to you tonight in this thought, for the joy that's set before me. Will you lift your hands forward? Obviously, I need your prayers. Amen. Just pray for me tonight. Amen. Father, I thank you, Jesus. God, I honor and trust your word and know, God, that it is without spot or blemish, God, but your man, Father. Father, I am weak, Lord, and I'm unworthy, Lord. But God, your blood has come, Lord. Let it come one more time, Jesus. Let your anointing fall one more time in this house, Jesus. Father, let this word go forth and do its work, Lord God. Let it do your work, Lord Jesus. Father, hide me behind you, Jesus. Anoint this house. Anoint this house, Jesus. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I really did was right there at 1 Kings 19. I really was. I want to open with this statement, Luke chapter 9, verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I want to give you some context in this, that just prior to that, a few verses, there were some men and women that had come to Christ, and they were explaining to Jesus their undying affection for him and their ability to follow him at all costs. Now, I want you to understand and deduce for yourself tonight, many of us have found ourselves in the same place. Would you agree with me that you're born again tonight? In the beginning of it all, of your salvation and knowing this precious Christ, your undying affection and your burning zeal for Jesus made you say a lot of things maybe that you didn't mean. And can I get an amen already? Amen. I like it when you amen me because it lets me know I'm on track. You're guilty of it. Amen. I'm guilty of it. I have burning zeal in my heart for the Lord. It allows me sometimes to say things I really don't mean. Very silly things. Amen. And can I tell you, when you tell Jesus you're going to do something, it's important. And it's very serious. Jesus knows how serious it is. Amen. This is a response of Jesus to someone coming to him and saying, Jesus, in your likeness, in your glory, in your divinity, all that you are, there is something about you that makes me want to follow you. I desire you. The way that I was going is not right. Your way is right. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make my way your way. And in that, we begin to blabber words maybe that we don't necessarily mean. Jesus, in his grace and his knowledge, his infinite omnipotence, amen, he sees that and he begins to tell us right here in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, no man that puts his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, he's talking to a specific group of people that would know exactly what this means, Mati. Amen. Jesus reads on my reading level. Can somebody say amen? Praise God. Jesus is not going to have anything in his word that he's unable to reveal to you by his spirit. No matter if you read the King James Version or the nearly inspired version. Amen. Praise God. Doesn't matter which one you read. Jesus' revelation by his spirit is truth. Amen. And it's him. It testifies of himself. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Amen. His spirit reveals himself. The Holy Ghost is always going to testify of Christ, just as the Father is going to testify of Christ. His Word will always testify of Christ. Why? There's no other way. There's no other way but Christ. Christ, knowing the seriousness of this, explains to them this in this short parable. No man that puts his hands to the plow and turns back is fit for the kingdom. I can tell you, if you're a new Christian here tonight or you've not been born again yet and you're desiring to do that at the altar call, I can tell you these are kind of cautionous words that Jesus is speaking. Wow, I thought Jesus was all loving. Just bring everybody that you can. Anybody that can come to Christ, come to Christ. That sounds like he's a little standoffish. Maybe he doesn't want me to follow him, Monty. That's not what he's saying at all, folks. What he's saying is this commitment is serious. Amen. This commitment is serious. This isn't try Jesus for a little while and go on back out there and be something else. No, 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 folks. This commitment is serious. There is serious consequences to coming under subjection to the power, the might, the grace, and the mercy of God and turning away. If you don't believe me, you can read Hebrews chapter 6 in its fullness. It says, no man coming to the knowledge of all of him and his glory and being baptized by his spirit and his love and all that and turns away. They tread upon the blood of Jesus. You might as well spit in his face and say, I don't want nothing to do with you. That's how serious Jesus is. No man that puts his hand to this plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This seems serious because it is serious. And if you're here tonight and you're contemplating following Jesus, I encourage you. I encourage you to do that. Because his way is much easier than the other. That's why he's so serious about it. His way's better. Amen. I'm going to get into that in a moment. But I want you to understand this and see this in its fullness. These people know exactly what he's talking about when he's talking about it. Amen. They knew what a plow was. Anybody here ever plowed before? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't mean with a John Deere now. Amen. That's a little different what we're talking. They didn't know that. Amen. If you plowed before in here, praise God, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, I'm going to explain it to you. Amen. I'm going to give you an understanding. All right, that plow is hooked up to an ox or a donkey or maybe a team of them. They're under a yoke. There's one single plow right there. Amen. There's one driver. Okay. When you put your hands to that and you begin to start the work, there's some very serious lessons that you have to learn and know before you can get on about your business. Amen. Because daddy or grandpa don't want no crooked furrows. Come on, somebody. There ain't no crooked furrows going to be set out there. If it's daddy's cornfield or granddaddy's pea patch, I can tell you, we want them straight. Amen. I was reading this because I've never plowed. Amen. So I'm not telling you, I know I look like I have. I look more like the ox or the donkey part, you know what I'm saying? Not the guy that's running the rig. I was reading this, and this was a young man who was telling about his experience with his grandfather. And he goes piece by piece. He said that his grandfather would lead him to that plow and he'd throw those reins over his neck and he'd fasten his hands onto that plow and he'd say, "Now look out there, son, as far as you can to the edge of that field, and I want you to find you a fence post. I want you to find you a tree. I need you to find some form of marker that when you lay your hands to that plow and you give the giddy up to wherever you're going, you're not going to be stopping until you get to wherever you go. And if you take your eyes off of that mark which is set out there and you begin to look side to side or even behind you, if you're not careful, them furrows are going to start looking like this. And if your first furrow doesn't line up right, I can tell you your second one won't. So these men understood when Jesus was saying, "You better put your hands to the plow and mean it and not look back." What he was saying was, you better make sure that what's set before you is worth going to all the way, because if you begin to look back in this journey, you're going to mess a whole lot of stuff up. Mostly for yourself. We'll get into that. So he's giving them a visual understanding in this definition. Some people think it's hard. It's not. It's just truth. Amen. It's just truth. I can tell you, Jesus loves you with all of his heart, that he would take a cross to die for your sins. It's serious to him. He wants someone to be serious about him. We've lost it today, a seriousness of Jesus, a seriousness of the things of God. We think we can dabble with what we want to dabble with over here and come to the house of God and raise unholy hands and expect him to move on our behalf. And I can tell you, folks, it's not going to work like that. It's not going to work like that. It's going to come in through us, the church of Christ. That's what the power is going to come in through. There's no other way. That's the point of Acts chapter 2. I love to run, and I love to shout, and I love to speak in tongues, but I can tell you, if there's no power with it, it's just a bunch of noise. I'm going to get to how easy it is. Amen? You might think I'm preaching hard like Jesus was speaking hard. Jesus isn't speaking hard. He's not. You know how easy it is to set your eyes on Jesus? It's as easy as I said it. It's as easy as I said it. Set your eyes. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I set off towards the mark that is before me. I cast off those things that hinder me, that I might reach. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as saying yes to this and no to that. Folks, this is salvation in its simplicity. You don't have to work hard to be saved. Believe. Believe on this and you're saved by faith through grace. Hallelujah. My goodness, I make it harder than it needs to be. Set your eyes. Set your eyes on this one thing. Well, plowing's hard, preacher. It is. It is hard. For the donkey. For the ox. I'm gonna preach in a minute. Amen. I just need to tell you some stuff. Okay? Can I possibly give to you this thought, amen, that it's as easy as walking with God? It's as easy as that. The will of God is very simple. It's Christ. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
My goodness, you act like you don't know what I'm talking about. I don't want this to start off bad. Amen. I want this to go smooth. Amen. It's Him. The will of God is Him. It's Him. That's the will of God. Well, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Where's Jesus? Where are you going to find Him at? Walk there. Get after it. Go. That's what it was for my life. Got saved down there in Okeechobee. Man, maybe I should be a cop. Some things started working out. Applications began to go, oh, Jesus ain't in that. I don't feel Him there. I'm getting a little colder over in this direction, but I kind of see Him here. All right, well, I'm just going to walk over here. I can tell you, 9 years later, folks, I'm still in the will of God. It's as simple as that. I set my eyes on the mark, and I'll find Him. Is that easy for Abraham? Go on, get boy. Go out there in that wilderness. Where you want me to go? Don't know. Wherever your feet touch will be yours. Come on, somebody. He trusted Abraham with what? Directions? No, he didn't trust him with directions. He trusts him with the reality that what Abraham saw in God was enough to guide him no matter where he went. Oh, God's not over here in Sodom and Gomorrah. I better go camp on the other side. Oh, God's not over here in Egypt. I better get on back over this way. Maybe I'll dig a well right here. Maybe I'll find something worth having, folks. It's as simple as that. Set your eyes on Christ. Do you have nowhere to go? That sounded weird. Do you have nowhere to go? Go to Him. Find Him. You can find Him in your closet. You can find Him in the back seat of your car, and He'll talk to you there. He will. He'll tell you where to go next. He'll tell you where to find a tank of gas if you need to drive somewhere. I promise you He will, folks. I've never been more provided for than the last few weeks. Provision. Miraculous provision in places I didn't know it was going to come from. It just showed up sometimes. I want you to stay here and preach Sunday morning. Okay, I can't. I have to go home. Got stuff I got to do. Can't stay financially. Can't do it. Well, we'll take care of your hotel. Is that enough? Well, it's the will of God because He's told me to stay. I'm just telling you no. Because up here, I know that I can't do what the Lord told me to do. I'm just talking, okay? I'm going to get to preaching. I didn't get to do this there. I'm home here. Amen. Amen. So I told the man, though, because I, regardless of what God said, yet here I am. Preached Sunday, had a little extra left over. Had more when I got back than I did going. Come on, somebody. I'm just trying to be real with you. Because there's some folks in here that they just say no because there ain't no way made that you can see. It's been made. Walk in it. What is faith? It's the evidence of things not seen. Well, that's scary out there. I'm afraid of the dark. It's all right. I've got a nightlight. He's every step I take. He's lighting up the way. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Walk in the will of God. Walk in it. How do I do that? Don't take your eyes off Him. There's a million testimonies in this house that I don't have to give in order for you to know. Don't look to the left and don't look to the right and definitely don't look back. Amen. Some of y'all are still in the ditch tonight. We're going to get out of there. Come on, somebody. We're going to get out of there tonight. You don't have to worry about that. You may be in the ditch tonight, but I can tell you, you're going to be back on track here for long. I want you to understand tonight that the Father and His will is the way. He is the way. Can I tell you that marker is God? It's His will. It's His vision for your life. It's laid out before the foundations of the earth for you to walk in. Can I tell you that that driving force, that mule, that donkey, that thing that is doing the work is Christ. Yoke yourself with me. Amen. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can I tell you that that's Christ? Can I tell you that all the handles of that plow are is the cross? And if you'll just grab a hold of that thing, that in which opens the door to heaven, all miraculous power, all provision, everything you need is through the cross. You die here and Christ lives there. Simple as that. Take hold of it. And the Holy Spirit's the blade. It's my favorite part. It's the blade. What's that blade? That blade's sharp now. There's some scriptures about plowshares in there. That's pretty sharp. Anybody know what a plowshare is? It's the sharpest piece of the plow. Amen. I was the only person. I read before I came because I knew someone might be here knew what it was. Praise the Lord. Can I tell you, there ain't a rock or a root that's going to hinder the straightness of that furrow. There's no hardship in your life that's going to come when the will of God comes and you're following Him that is going to bump the Holy Ghost out of the way from you getting to where you're going. Listen, folks, bitterness runs rampant in the church today. Some of y'all are mad with me right now and you don't even know why. That's how church works. Got to find somebody to be mad at. Can't be mad at me. I like me too much. It's easier to be mad with you. Because if I were you, I'd have done it a different way. Well, you're not me. And you don't have to answer to God for me. I have to answer to God for me. Amen. And you can trust Him with the judgment. I promise you. I'll be judged for the things that I judge wrongly. I will. And isn't that easy? Holy Ghost just delivered some folks just now. Some bitter roots in their life. That easy. You just said, you know what, God, I trust Him with you. Hey, can I tell you, there's freedom in your life tonight. There is. It's as easy as that. I'm going to get to why it's easy, amen? But I'm just going to plow a little bit, amen? Hey, come on, somebody, amen. I'm just going to plow a little bit tonight. There's no worms or, you know, bugs or, you know, it ain't about the soil. It ain't about the soil to me. It's not about it. I'm going to get to that. Your family is not your responsibility. Hear what I'm about to say. Your wife, your husband, and your children are yours. They're given to you. That's your ground. You better tend it. If you want spiritual growth in your house, help. Get to weeding. Get to dealing. Get to working in the Spirit of God to deal with those things. Bitter roots go from parent to child that fast. It just takes a ride home from church for that baby to know who you don't like there. That's all it takes, folks. You're in charge of that. I'm talking about family members, lost loved ones. It's not up to me for them to choose Jesus. It's not up to me. It's up to me to get to heaven. It's up to me to get there. I don't have to worry about the soil. I don't have to worry about the kids and youth. I have to answer to a certain part of that. Hear what I'm saying? How they receive what I'm sowing isn't up to me. It's what I'm trying to say. What I sow is up to me. We're dealing with simply holding on to the reality that Christ is, the truth in faith through the cross that makes all of the power work. Can't get over that bitter root? Probably got a hand that's not on the cross. Because I can tell you, if you're going to get through this walk with Jesus, you're going to have to die to a lot of your feelings. You're just going to have to. I got to die to being right sometimes in order to be right. But I promise you, if you'll put your hands on there and you'll simply walk with Jesus, just walk. Your feet are going to get tired. There's going to be rocks underneath you. You're going to trip sometimes. But I can tell you, it don't affect my gaze. It don't affect my gaze, folks. It does not affect my gaze. I know this is a different speed right now. But this is necessary by the whole. I don't have no notes in this. I have scripture, and I couldn't even find one of those. It's that bottom part right there. This is the Holy Ghost for this house. For this house. I'm throwing a whole lot of seed out here, and how you receive it tonight is going to be how it grows. Amen. There can be great power in this house, but we are hindered by how we receive things from this pulpit. We're hindered by our flesh, by our inability to be moved by the Spirit, to be cut by the Spirit, to die to the cross. We're hindered how we receive things, folks. There's a whole parable that I ain't even going to read to get into. Amen? I'm not even going to get into it. If you'll turn to Mark chapter 14, I want to talk about this. Mark chapter 14. Turn with me, please. I want you to read it. We're going to get to a really exciting part by the end of this. Maybe. Maybe you'll be excited about it. Verse 32. Can I get out of this jacket? Amen. I wore an undershirt, so I can't see through it. Care about that here. I'm glad you laughed. Amen. Mark chapter 14, verse 32. We're going to read to 42. 10 whole verses. My youth is like, that's so long. That's the longest reading. It's not. Mark chapter 14, verse 32. And they came into a place which was named Gethsemane. He saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John. Note who he took. And began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up. Let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. I want to go back to verse 34. And I want you to read this with me. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry here and watch. And what? Watch. Look at me. It's what he said. Watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed. I want you to understand that this end time season of life on this physical earth is not going to be done in our strength as a body of believers. Could have said that better, but I'm not even going to go back and worry about it. I want you to understand that it's not going to be your strength that takes you home. It's just not. You come to these altars and you pray, it's not going to be your tongues and how loud you can get. It's going to see healing and miracles. It's not it. It's not it. I can tell a whole bunch of funny stories about stuff like that. I don't want to. I just want you to receive what I got to say. So I'm serious, folks. In this hour, Jesus was exceedingly sorrowful. This was the last moments of his life in the physical. And he was exceedingly sorrowful because the Spirit was making way for him to go do something that was going to make a way for me. Can I tell you, it was about to birth a church that was going to be issued the same thing. To make a way where there is no way. My ministry is the ministry of reconciliation, folks. And here in the last hour, I'm exceedingly sorrowful. I've faced devils and I've faced life in ways that I've never thought was physically possible. Right now, folks in the faith are under such extreme physical attack with sickness and infirmities, you couldn't even fathom it. Two and three different things at one time. One time. You thought COVID was bad. The body is under attack. Some of you in this house have fought spiritual things. And it's made you sorrowful. It's made you sorrowful that you've put your hands to the plow. It's hindered you. It's weakened you. It's made you think, man, it would have been better to have gone back to Egypt. Because to die in bondage would have been better than to die out here in the wilderness free. And can I tell you, the attack of the enemy coming so strong, the way that it's coming, is because Jesus is going to return. And he's coming for a church, folks. He's coming for a bride that's made herself ready. Will I find earth with faith? Will I find it there? Will he find it in me? Will I have the strength to endure to the end? Will I have the faith to believe when all of hell has come against me? Will I have what it takes in the end? I can tell you, all of us think so. We're all guilty right now. I'm saying the words out of my mouth, and as I'm saying it, you're saying, I sure do. And you're wrong. You're wrong. You don't. When the devil comes visits your house, you don't have the strength. In your house, you don't have the strength. Your flesh is weak. Your spirit is saying yes. Yes, Lord, I will. I'll follow you to the end. You read back in this chapter and Peter's leading the pack. And he's explaining to Jesus in all of his zeal, in all of his carnality and what he's tasted and what he's seen. Don't you know the miracles that I've put my hands to? Jesus, in your name, I've walked closer to you, Jesus, than anybody. You called me the rock. I'm Peter. On this revelation that I had, you're going to build your church. Zealous. Pure zeal. There ain't nothing wrong with your hearts for saying that. Isn't that beautiful? That it's okay to think that to Jesus? You know what Jesus says? Bless their hearts. He said, bless their hearts, me. That's what he says. Because he can't say Jesus. He's Jesus. Sorry. I just had to throw that in there. Bless your hearts. You think you do. And as we all do, we all have zeal. We all read this scripture and we read it and we go, oh man, I could have stayed awake. Woo! I could have watched Jesus and prayed. I got the word. I got the word and I know how to fight. Some of y'all fell into the simplest sin before you walked in here. Where was your strength then? You lust after a woman with a thought, adulterer. Have anger towards someone, murderer. You're nobody to the devil. You're no match for sin. You're no match for none of it. And if you were, there wouldn't have to be a Christ and a cross. And there is, which gives evidence that the only being that knows everything knows what he's talking about. And it's in this hour that you're going to see a lot of folks, including in here, bow their chests out and say, well, I'm Pentecostal. I'll talk the fire down. Folks, you can't talk the fire down on your phones. You can't. It's impossible in yourself to do good. It's impossible. And the sooner you realize it, the better off you'll be. Because then you can walk as what you are in Christ for who he is, and you'll just be able to speak to things and they'll be, because it's Christ that's the power. You'll be able to walk down the streets and there'll be a paralytic, and your shadow, which isn't yours, it's Christ, and it's walking across somebody and they're healed. They'll be able to take a sliver of your jacket onto the medical home and everybody will be getting out, because it ain't got nothing to do with you. And the reason they don't is because you come in here and think you got a part with him. You want to tie your name to the miracle. Did you see? I prayed for him. I prayed for him. You're nobody. For Paul and Jesus, I know, but I don't know who you are. And I'm about to prove to you your strength. Folks, the simplest of sins do that to me in my flesh. Don't have to be seven devils to whip my tail and make me run naked. It don't take seven. It takes the worst, the least devil on the whole totem pole to do that to me in my flesh. Why did he even know Paul's name? Because Paul was nothing in himself. He boasted in his nothingness for the glorification of Christ, but didn't just say it with his words. He just walked in it. And he tells us through his epistles in its simplicity, I'm nothing. I have a thorn in my flesh. I can't even get out of my own mind. I don't have power over my own mind, Paul is saying. But isn't it great that Jesus' response is, my grace is sufficient for you? And my power is made perfect in your weakness. I just need one thing for you to do. Submit to your weakness so that you can submit to my power. I'm trying to be practical this evening. Amen. I know this is taking a long time and it's kind of being drawn out. But I'm telling you, church, if we're going to make it in the end and we don't get this reality, we ain't going to do none of the works that the end time church is doing. We're going to fall away from this Christ, because we're going to be more sorrowful that we put our hands to the plow. And we're going to say, that drug addiction was nothing in comparison to this. That's a joy of my life in considering this that I'm going through right now. You'll want the noose back. You'll wish the pistol and the steel that was in your mouth was back in there. You'll want that. That's what's ahead for us, folks, if we try to do this in ourselves. You think we're gonna waltz into heaven without one single demon, one single spirit not coming against me and my family, who is clearly going to heaven? You're out of your mind. The devil tried to stop everything with Christ and his crucifixion. To stop what? My resurrection. How much more the rapture of the church? How much more? How much more your family? How much more your babies? How much more, believer? So much more. Jesus is demonstrating here. You know, Jesus was always demonstrating when he walked the earth. Always showing, always saying. People weren't always listening, but he was always talking to them about things that were going to come. He was showing them, what's the way that is going to help me get there? What am I going to have to do in order to make it? Jesus is always showing. And here we are, a perfect picture of that. Peter, James, and John, and all of their zeal, pure zeal. I love the Lord. Jesus, I love you. No doubt John is in the bosom of Christ saying these things. I'll follow you to death. We're so close, Jesus. Jesus knew the things that they were saying they did not mean. So he takes them, the three ones that thought they could and were very vocal about it. We know James and John of Zebedee, their mother in one account said that they were going. Them in another account said that they were going. Jesus, let me sit at your left hand. Let me sit at the right hand of your kingdom. Peter, boasting, I'll go unto the death, Jesus, with you. Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the crow in the morning. Jesus takes them to this garden. He's explaining to them in word and in deed, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Boys, this is what spiritual warfare is going to look like. I'm sorrowful. Watch. Watch me. And as he began to pray, what did he pray? Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Folks, I've asked the Lord to take a lot of things from me. I've asked the Lord to take a lot of things from my children. And if that prayer is not closed with not my will, but your will be done, you'll walk out of Gethsemane perfectly intact with all of your physical worldly belongings. Because what's ahead of us, we cannot do in our power. Not my will, but your will be done. He comes back. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. And he cometh and he findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? And I want to say this, because I've preached this numerous times in condemnation towards these men. And this is not Jesus condemning them. A lot of people say, oh man, Peter, couldn't you just have stayed awake 1 hour? Man, you're the worst Christian. Can't you see that my sweat is as drops of blood? Can't you see how serious this is? Didn't I just tell you at the feast that I was going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners by one of you? Didn't I just tell you that Satan has asked to sift you as wheat and I'm going to be praying for you and you can't even pray for me? That's not how Jesus was talking to him. Jesus was explaining to them, Peter, you remember? Remember you're going to die for me? You'll go with me to death? Do you remember that? Son, you can't even pray. You can't even pray for an hour. And you think you can go with me? Son, you pay attention to me. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it in yourself. That's what he was saying to Peter, James, and John. You're not going to make it in yourself. Three times he comes. The second time it says they offered up some excuses to him. The third time it says they had nothing to say because they finally had conceived in themselves that they couldn't do it. And that's what the Lord is looking for in us. It's not a response with our words. He's looking for a response with our heart, with our walking with him in the will of God and allowing him to do it. It's the goodness of God and only by the grace of God that we're going to get to where we're going. It's sober in here. I feel it. And it should be. We should be sober in this. Because I don't, by the grace of God, I don't want to think that in this last hour that I'm going to make it in myself. I'm just going to go, I'm going to preach Wednesday night and I'm just going to preach the fire down. It's like, folks, listen, I barely made it here. In my flesh, with my sanity. I preached on Sunday morning. I was demonically attacked with the Word of God in my mind for 4 days straight. 4 days. I couldn't sleep and I couldn't think straight because all I could think about was, it's camp meeting Sunday. You better have something deep. You better have something good. You better preach good. You better have this. You better have that. Here's the thought. Think this out. Here's the thought. Think this out. Here's the thought. Biblical, folks. Theology. Demonic. Be strong, Rafe. Be good at it. Make them think that you're a good preacher. Maybe they'll have you back. Maybe you'll preach camp meeting next year. Who knows? That's what happened to somebody else. Jesus, I don't want to preach at all. I don't want this. I could have it, folks. I could if I wanted it. I'm dangerous to me. I'm dangerous, and you're dangerous to you to think that you're something. It won't be long. You're in the Garden of Gethsemane in a season of sorrow, exceedingly sorrowful, praying for your babies that can't get well. And no matter how hard you pray, with all of your might and as loud as your tongues are, hear me, Jesus. Hear me and save my child. And them not get well. Where's Christ? Jesus, I thought you loved me. I thought you cared about me. Didn't it say that your stripes were for my healing and for my baby's healing? Well, I've prayed, haven't I? I've called two or three. I've had the elders lay hands on them. I've done all that you've told me to do. In your strength, you did. And you expect God to answer like that? No, he'll get you to nothing. He'll get you to pure desperation and go, God, I don't know what to do. And Jesus can go, now I can deal with something. Now I can deal with something. This is personal experience for me, folks. There was a season in my life that I was watching people be healed after healed after healed after healed till I got to my kid. And they had to suffer. And I began to look at God going, why in the world, Jesus, can I see everyone else healed? He said, because you trust me for them. And you think because you've healed all those people, you think you're going to lay hands. That was your petition to me. Your strength. You're wrong. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to heal you. Jesus, by the grace of God and him alone, by his spirit, there is power. Nothing in me. He chooses to use me. And he's looking at James and John and Peter, and he's saying, you guys are going to be a dynamic in my kingdom, but you're going to be nothing if you can't learn this. Grace, can I tell you, GFCC, that you're going to be used by the Lord in this last hour? Do you know every minister that messages me and texts me, and they're talking about, Brother Rafe, you got revival going on, you got this. Man, isn't that great? Yeah, it's wonderful. How about you? Oh, I got all the... I said, are you seeing any miracles? Are you seeing any signs? Any wonders? Are you laying hands on people and they're receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Is there salvations? You know what most of their responses are? One or two. Folks, it is a Grace Fellowship Christian Church nightly service to have a devil cast out here. God is speaking to us and he's explaining to us, I'm willing to use you and I'm willing to use you mightily. But unless we can learn this simplicity, this simple thing, I'm not going to do nothing with you. And by the end of it, you're going to be so ready to turn around and go back to whatever once had you bound. It's by his strength. It's by his goodness. I'm going to read another scripture so I can go on. I'm sure you're ready for me too. Amen. I did get an amen on that. Amen. Stop hitting us. Folks, this is love. This is what Jesus was saying when he said, no man puts his hands to the plow. He's making it clear to us. I am going to work through you. Isn't that... Folks, you can hear all that I said and go, man, well, he's just not going to use this because I'm just too strong of myself. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God's chosen you. Yeah. He's saying glory, glory, glory that you are going to put your hands to the plow. Glory to those that are going to set their hands to it because there's a work to be done. There's a community in Bonifay, Florida. There's a community in Arkansas. There's a community all around these United States and far into other nations that's going to need GFCC. Put your hands to the plow. Put your hands to the plow. But know this, when you do, Jesus is going to carry us on home. Just keep your eyes on him. Let me preach for a minute, get your spirits up a little bit. Amen. Just set your eyes on him. It's going to be easy. You're going to walk to revivals. You're going to walk to meetings. You're going to come into service. And you're going to go, Jesus, I'm unworthy. He's going to say, pray for this boy right here. And you're going to lay hands on him. And they're going to be healed just like that. I need the spirit over here. Lord, y'all, I'm going to pray for him right now, filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? I wasn't looking to heal nobody. And I wasn't looking to see somebody get filled with the Holy Ghost. I was just looking for him. I was just looking for him. I've set my eyes on the mark, folks. I've set my eyes on the mark. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. But what things we gain to me, those I count as loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteous which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Folks, this is a powerful walk that I'm going to walk in. Not mine, but his. I can insert some power, but it's nothing in light of his. The fellowship of his sufferings. Amen. Being made comfortable? No. Conformable unto his death. Dying a carnal death to walk a spiritual life. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He's saying, I've not attained it myself, but I know where I'm going. Either were already perfect, but I follow after it, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. It's pretty plain, would you agree? No man puts his hands to this plow and looks back. Why? Because there's so much more for you. Folks, there's so much more for your family ahead of you. Don't lose sight of this Christ. Amen. I want to read now a story for you, 1 Samuel chapter 6. And after that story, I'm going to close. And we're going to rejoice in the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 6. Verse 1. And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place. And they said, if you send away the ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering. Then ye shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. And then said they, what shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden emrods, or tumors, and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For one plague was on you all and on your lords. Wherefore ye shall make images of your emrods and images of your mice that mar the land, and ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure, he will lighten his hand from off you and from off your gods and from off your land. Wherefore, then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts. When he had wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go, and they departed? Now therefore, make a new cart and take 2 milch kine on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold which ye return him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. And see if it goeth up by the way of his own cast, of his own coast to Beth Shemesh. Then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. And the men did so and took two milch kine and tied them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer with the mice of gold and the images of their emrods. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh and went along the highway lowing as they went and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua, a Bethshemite, and stood there where there was a great stone. And they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone. And the men of Bethshemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrificed sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. Now, I know that's a lot of reading, folks, and I'm going to make it really simple for you. I know you're tired. I'm about to close. You're going to be happy about it. Amen. I want you to understand this story comes after the Philistines overtook Israel. It was in the time that Eli was high priest over the nations and his two sons were doing evil things in the sight of the Lord. They decided to take the Ark of the Covenant into the battle with the Philistines. The two sons were killed. The Ark of the Covenant was stolen. And even at its word, Eli fell over backwards and broke his neck. Amen. You know the story maybe. Okay. Well, what happens is the Philistines decide to take it back where they live. And when that happens, they began to be plagued with tumors and all kinds of mice that was messing up all of their stuff. Amen. And after a while, they begin to pray and they go, what in the world is wrong here? Why are we going through all of these plagues and these hardships? So they called all of the lords and all of the diviners in and they said, will you please tell us why we're in such turmoil? And they said, it's got to be the ark of the Lord. If it be the will of God and it is that, then make you a cart, a new cart. Take you two mama cats cows that just had calves. Strip them calves off of them cows. Set them over here to the side. And if it really be the presence of God that's hindering you, they will take that cart, never being yoked before, and they'll go on down the road to Beth Shemesh, and you will be delivered of all of this issue from you. Now, if it doesn't do that, and they turn aside, and they go over there to them calves, then you know that it's just a coincidence, because there ain't no mama cow that's ever going to leave their calf. Amen. Come on, I got some mamas in the house. You're not going to leave that baby. Amen. I'm telling you. I can tell you, folks, in the reality of life, I was delivered of many things in my life, but even more than I was delivered of all sin, I was delivered of myself. When I took a hold of the cross, when I took a hold of the handles of God, when I took a hold of that thing and died to me and lived to Him. And it set me now on a supernatural journey, a divine journey, that does not allow me to look anywhere but Him, because I love Him, because when I found Him, I found something worth going towards. Amen. I had an appreciation of Him. I began to walk with Him, talk with Him, and in that process, many natural things begin to come at me and desire to hinder me. My mama would come to me and she'd say, you just joined a cult over there at GFCC. My family's lost. They don't know any better. They just believe that they're this or they're that, and afterwards nothing happens to you. But I know different, folks. And I can tell you, at the hearing of the coming of Christ, there's a real sorrow in me that I can't go to my family and preach to them like I'm preaching to you tonight. Amen. The will of God isn't for me back there talking to them. The will of God is for me to be here talking to you. I can't look back and be sorrowful that God's led me here. If I take care of God's babies and God's children, God's going to take care of mine. Can I get an amen, somebody? God's going to take care of yours if you take care of His. It's the will of God. I set my eyes on something, yet natural afflictions began to deal in my heart. Plagues and hindrances that I knew were coming against me because I'm following this Christ. Coming against me, coming against my children. God, why is this happening to me? It's because you're following me. If the world hates you or hates Christ, it's going to hate you. I don't like to be hated. I want you to love me, but I know when I preach this word, there's going to be devils and spirits and carnality that doesn't like what I say, and they're going to hate me with all of their heart, and I'm going to have to look at them and go, I love you and wish I could stay with you longer, but I'm on a destinational walk with this Christ. I got to tell the gospel. I got to keep my furrow straight because I got a wife and I've got my babies, and they're looking to me as I'm looking to Christ. I got a family that's lost, and if I take my eyes off of him for a minute, the furrow might get a little crooked. My babies might get a little lost. My family might not know the way, folks, but I'm walking on with Jesus. I'm walking on. It says them mama cows, they didn't look left to the right. They didn't look either way. Them babies behind them, no doubt, bellowing out, mama, I'm back here. But they were with divine purpose, set with the presence of God. I'm with divine purpose preaching to you tonight. Presence of God, shut up like fire in my bones, with a message of Christ going on somewhere. Where am I going? Where am I going? Where am I going? Luke chapter 17, verse 47 says this. As the Pharisees asked Jesus, where is this kingdom? He said, don't look for the body. Look for the vultures. That stumped me, Brother Chris, for a little while. You ever wonder how a vulture finds a dead body? It's almost like they're drawn to it. Don't see a vulture in sight. Deer gets hit by a car. They're there. Hadn't seen a buzzard all day. Been 10 miles circumference. I didn't see one. That deer got hit. There's one right there immediately. You know what Jesus was saying? Wherever I am, there you'll find my people. Wherever I am, you'll find my people like vultures seeking to eat of my flesh and to drink of my blood. There's a rapture, folks. There's a rapture. It's ahead of us. It's ahead of us. It's right here, folks. And like a vulture that is infinitely drawn to a dead body, it's almost divine. It's infallible direction for me in the spirit. Where am I going? I'm going to the body. I'm going to the one. Can I tell you tonight, Beth Shemesh means the house of the sun. S-U-N. Them mama cows left that natural ability, left that natural thing to go do something supernatural, somebody. I'm doing something supernatural tonight. I've left it all, folks. I count it all as done. Why? Because I'm going to the house of the S-O-N. I'm going to the house of the sun. Divinely drawn, infallible direction by the grace of God, by the power of His Spirit. You might be here tonight and don't know what I'm talking about. Can I tell you, folks, I found something that's worth leaving all for. Yes. To set my furrow in line for a family that's lost. You've got lost loved ones tonight? Leave them. Leave them. The only chance they have to find in Christ is following you. Amen. Hear what I'm saying tonight, folks. This is divine. The only chance that they have of finding Christ is following me. Was it not Paul that said, follow me as I follow Christ? One of these days they're going to be walking around out there, Brother Lewis, just kicking the rocks out in the field, and they're going to stumble against my furrow. And they're going to look up. Where's it leading? Wherever the body is, there the vultures will be. I'm just following. Following what? Divine influence on my life. By faith. I see something ahead. Folks, if you're born again tonight and you're tired and you're thinking about your family that you might be able to serve them better going back and doing something that's not the perfect will of God, you better get rid of that garbage. We're too close now. We're too close now. Let the dead bury the dead if they need to. I'm going to live. The only chance they got at life is possibly following my furrow. To Him, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. If you're lost this morning and you think, man, that sounds crazy, you're right. It's downright supernatural. It ain't humanly possible to leave everything that you love in the natural to follow something that you can't even see. Can I tell you tonight, I've seen Him. Hallelujah. I've seen Him. Can I get a witness tonight? I've seen Him. I know where I'm going. It's infallible in me, the direction I'm going. It's downright supernatural. And I can tell you, it is worth it. It is worth it. Why? Because the only one that can save my family is up there. What are you doing? Just leading them to the only one that can. Do you need healing tonight? Do you need salvation tonight? Are you plagued tonight? Are you tired tonight? We better get used to late nights in service, late days. If Jesus can't trust you to be here in his presence, it's going to be hard to lift that heavy tail off the ground in the rapture. I'm sorry. If you're bound up to something that's tied to this earth, when that chain catches tight to whatever you're bound to, come on, somebody. What's bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. I ain't going to be tied to nothing here, folks. By the grace of God, I'm not going to be bound to nothing. When I go up, I want my babies to look up and go, I'm right behind you, Daddy. I'm right behind you, baby. Some of you folks need to take hold of the plow tonight in appreciation for what it is. Some of you have begun to look right and left. Can I tell you that there's a little more time to get that furrow straight? It's by the grace of God we're still here and not raptured in this moment. And God's given it to you as a gift. He really has. Get right. Get in. Put your hands to the plow. He needs you. Could you imagine if we didn't have this tonight? These folks are just walking with God. Just normal folks. I'm just normal folks. Ain't got nothing to offer you. Man, brother, that word was great. You know, that ain't mine. I wish I could think of something like that. Can I tell you, I'm Peter, and I'm James, and I'm John. Oh, geez, I'll go with you anywhere. Come on, boy, come with me over here. I'll tell you, I'm over here. In all of his goodness, in spite of all of my failures, that's where I'm at tonight. Come down. Come on, let's start now. Put your hands to it. The work is almost done.